Everyone, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the Divine Will ebook series where we methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to methodically go through it. Success? I'm not sure. But we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And we thought today we're going to change up the prayer a little bit. We're going to, we are in the month of May, we're trying to learn to know our mother better, our mother, our Blessed Virgin Mother. And because the more we know her, the more we're going to love her. You know, just like the catechism was to know God, to love God, to serve God in that order. Because of course, the more we know God, the more we're going to love him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to feel this burning desire to serve him. And now through the explication of the gift of living the divine will, we know that to know, to love, and to serve God in its best capacity is through the gift of the divine will, using our human will with God's most holy divine will. So this supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, day 31. It's actually the Virgin Mary's assumption into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to bring the document up. I'm also going to bring in Maureen, if I can. There we go. Okay. Hi, Maureen.
Hello, Peter. Hi, everybody.
It's great to be back. You know, grateful to have awakened. Think about it, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. It's so incredible. You know, in the month of May, you know, learning and or attempting to know our Blessed Mother better, you know, we're stumbling on all kinds. We're not really stumbling. God is putting it in front of us and he's waiting for our attentiveness. But there are so many things. I mean, Article 507 of the Catholic Catechism states, quote, at once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. End quote. So to emulate Mary, we know, is the best way to grow and dive and journey into the divine will, of course, because that's the way Jesus set it up. But our Church is pronouncing that as well. And you know, it's interesting too, Maureen, when in that supplication, when Luis is saying, it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. And then I remember about when she talks about secrets and Jesus speaks about secrets, you know, and we hear the word secret in our modern day, we think of something nefarious, you know, you're holding back something. It's just not good usually. But again, remembering that this is the language of heaven. God is trying to, he's trying to communicate with us in a mode where we understand. But how can you put divine realities into human terms, no matter what language it is? It's hard. God has to give us that grace to go beyond the words. So just really interesting. Secret, again, it may be nefarious in our modern day, but in the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, in meditation number one, our Blessed Mother explains, what does she and Jesus mean by a secret? It's a starling. It's on page 281 in Father Annuzzi's Divine Will Prayer Book, if you have that. So this is what our Blessed Mother says, quote, for a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding, end quote. For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a humble compliment. God and our Blessed Mother would not be divulging these secrets if they did not feel that we were capable, exact words, capable of understanding. And then, you know what? First thing I think about is back in Scripture when Jesus says, I've got much more to tell you. But you're not ready. You're not yet disposed. Because again, that capacity to understand at that point was not there. And Jesus knows better. You know, we sometimes think, well, I'm ready. I'm not ready. Jesus knows. He knows when we're ready. And that's why he says this gift, he's waited 6,000 years. And now during our lives, he's divulging this secret of all secrets, gift of all gifts. And it's in our lifetime, which is really astonishing. Don't you feel astonished every day, Maureen?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. I can't believe how fast the days are going. Yeah. It's amazing how fast time is going. And I'll tell you, it's speeding by. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, or I'm busy, but life is really going quickly. So I'm grateful to have the divine will every day, because then I say to myself, well, I did something good today. I did some acts. And if these days are speeding by, and I at the end of the day I say, oh, what did I do for the Lord? What did I do for the kingdom? And I didn't even do one act, you know, I wouldn't have peace. But just be attentive and at least get your acts in, and you know you're giving to the kingdom in some way, because the kingdom I think is coming quickly. I mean, quicker than maybe we know. I don't know.
So nice. sort of like get your act together. No pun intended, right?
Yeah.
But it's true. You know, the acts and rounds. Well, that's our job. That's our job, to repair and redo. I mean, it's already been done, but by doing it again through the grace of God, we're sort of claiming it. You know, another thing that I came across, I knew it, but I forgot it. Pope Francis, back in 2018 on March 3rd, he established a universal feast day for the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. And it's on the first Monday following Pentecost. So that, if my calendar is correct, is May 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another feast day. You know, one step closer, perhaps, that fifth dog went to the world and the church, recognizing to the full extent of who and what our Blessed Mother is, has done, and will do. And it's continuing to do right now. So again, in this month, we want to pray the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, especially those first 6 days, which today's day five, we've got day six tomorrow. But again, even if you haven't started yet, it's very easy to catch up. And, you know, God understands we've got other obligations and other duties. And again, he says, make this our life. And then it comes back to that, what is it? Give up even holy things. I don't know if I have that here, but that was another thing too. That was when I first heard Father Celso say that. So, what do you mean, give up holy things? But basically, here it is, and it's our Lord and our Lady again, tag team giving us this. It's our Lord in Volume 17, September 18th, 1924. I'm just going to give a little snippet. He says, "Quote, and don't be surprised if you see that they do not understand, you know, others." To understand, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life, even in holy things, to their own will. So, end quote. So we know that, and that's, wow, that's powerful. And then our mother comes in, you know, just like a good mother, and she takes it and she gives a little bit more. She says, my child, this is in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 22. And Our Lady states, quote, my child, the divine will is intransigent, unchanging, and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things. Right? She emulates and repeats what Jesus says. But then she goes on to say, but always according to the circumstances.
Oh.
So that is our way to really use our discretion. You know, we want to make the divine will first. We know we have that intention. But there's something in front of us that is either an emergency or vital or crucial. And we were planning on, you know, praying the Chapel of Divine Will. We may have to look at that emergency or that situation in front of us again, according to the circumstances. So make the Divine Will our life. And whenever we can, with that intention, and God will make room. Now, if you think about it, this was on my mind also, not many things are on my mind, but because I've been getting a lot of emails lately about different people speaking on the divine will. And that's great because, again, God's going to give us all these roads to get there. Well, there's only one final destination, but there's different ways to get there because we've all been disposed differently. We all have different experiences. We all have different lives that we've lived up to this point. And everything has helped to sort of mold us to who we are or who we're not at this time. And during that development, so to speak, we've created our own obstacles. and I know Jesus placed some obstacles in our way as a form of a test also. But again, if there's something that's helping us understand this gift better, if it resonates with us better from the help of someone else, great. Again, Father Celso says, don't Protestantize it. And that's true. We can't have different realities. There's only one truth of the divine will. But how we get there can be any road that God has allowed us to travel. So, never limit God. Test it. And if it's something that's helping your growth, why not? If it's something that you feel doesn't sound kosher, for lack of a better phrase, also, perhaps you pray and just and you stay with your staple, whether it be Father Celso, Father Newsy, Mother Gabriel, Father Young's recordings, which are fantastic, Father Brown, there's so much out there, Francis Hogan. It doesn't matter, wherever Daniel O'Connor, wherever you have this connection, so to speak, where you're able to get it. Because again, everyone's seeing it from a slightly different perspective. We all have different irises. We're all seeing different hues, H-U-E of color. And it's okay if we're all seeing the same color, let's say blue of Our Lady for the month of May. So if we all see a different hue of blue, that's okay. Because think about the old days. I don't know, Maureen, maybe when I was in school, we had these overhead projectors and these transparencies that you put on top of it. Well, think about if everyone has a different color blue and you keep layering these transparencies on top of each other, but it's all blue. Mm-hmm. It becomes the brightest, the most impressive blue vibrant. But if it's blue and now you're adding yellow, well, guess what? Now you're going to get a tint of green. So again, as long as we're on the same page as far as that, and I don't like that phrase, we can just lay it on there. And again, the way you see the divine will is probably going to help me also. Mm-hmm. And the way Francis sees it or Joan sees it, or who else? I just want to mention some names that are on. Susanna sees it. One more name. Margaret sees it. Milagro sees it. We all see it slightly differently, but as long as we're grounded in something, that's all that matters.
And I know when I hear people talk about the divine will, I say, wow, that was beautiful. I never thought of it like that. So you grow listening to other people, I think. And like you said, as long as they're grounded, but they see it in a different way. And that's how we grow together. Otherwise it would just be one person. I don't know. I think we help each other.
We do. Yeah. We do. Yeah. It was about 6 months ago or so. I think Father Celso even mentioned on air during one of his talks that he read something that Father Anisi wrote, and it helped him look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And again, that just increases our understanding. And, again, what resonates with me may be slightly different to someone else, but it's okay. We can't limit God, but we can't water it down. So it's, we have to sort of play referee as well. Again, we pray on that. We'll be able to. It's like, when something doesn't taste right, when something doesn't smell right. Okay, we have to use our intuition. God has given us this grace and these graces to do so. And we ought to get into the program, right, Maureen? Because we didn't do anything last week. I'm so sorry.
We were bad. No, it was good. It's always good. Whatever you do, it's always good.
Punish them. Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. If you haven't read this, or if you haven't read it in a while, this is Jesus explaining the cog on how he's calling a small group of souls. I really believe it's us, to be more intimate with him than ever before, so that this gift can be given to us and recirculated back to him and then diffused to all, if that illustration makes any sense. Because that's what's happening. It's not us doing it. It's our fiat allowing ourselves to be sort of used in this process, to be joined, you know, I like to say riding on his coattail. That's really all we're doing. But he's giving us that opportunity, and we'd be silly not to do it. That's a great passage from volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Okay. This always, we have to mention this because it's important. The Archbishop, the late Archbishop Pacheri, had asked that all who read the writings of the Book of Heaven and Luis's writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Now, again, this has been misunderstood also. It doesn't mean we can't gather. It doesn't mean we can't read. We can't study together. We can't journey together. We can't listen together. All this is permissible. But again, based on our dispositions, we may have at certain times different assumptions, different presumptions. And especially for those who facilitate a group, you know, you don't want to lead anyone down, you know, the wrong path. So again, when it comes to something ambiguous, something relating to how it comes through our Catholic faith, that's when the late Archbishop Pacheri was asking to be guided by a theologian. And that's why we have Father Annuzzi, who has his dissertation, which has the abrogation, the approval of the Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See. So it's got the approval. So, and what does Father do? What did he do? He summarized all of Luis's writings. He gave us the explanation of it. And then he drives us into the volumes so that we may corroborate ourselves and allow Jesus and our Blessed Mother to further expand that sort of analysis. And because again, we're all going to be taught differently by Jesus. All going to be taught differently by our Blessed Mother because we're all different to begin with. So that's really important to know. But that's, again, and what we have here, Maureen, is using the dissertation, we are being guided by a priest, yeah, even if the priest is not in front of us. So nobody really, if they is without a priest, guiding them through this journey. So we have really, what we have is incredible.
For those, I think when you first see the dissertation, I know I said, oh my goodness, because I'm not an intellectual. And I said, that book's way too big for me. But once I opened it and learned about footnotes, it was a gold mine. I mean, you can really learn so much from that book. It's my go-to book now all the time. You can even think of a word that you want to know, what does this mean? Look in the back of the book, it's there, and it's really easy. So don't be intimidated by the thickness of it. For those of you who aren't, you know, like me, get a little nervous when you see a big fat book. It's a great book to have.
It really is. And then take that dissertation and join it with Father Celso's perspective. No one can do what Father Celso does, or the living it out like Mother Gabriel and the sisters do. Nobody can do it like them. So again, everyone has their niche, so to speak. It's not a competition, but it's a community of resources that we'd be silly not to to take advantage of. If we can, I don't know how much. I mean, I strive every day to be a father, a grandfather, a husband. I try to, and of course, during the divine will. So we have to sort of, you know, we have a certain deficit of time. So we have to just really do what we can. And God knows what we have in the form of time and what we don't have.
And I think, too, an important thing, I don't know if Father Celso said this, but to read with humility. Because when you read with humility, even if you're a leader, I think that's the way to understand more, or to understand that you don't understand this. So you're going to put a question through to Father Iannuzzi. So humility is crucial, I think, when you're reading the divine will, because this is from heaven. And no matter how theological you are or how holy you are, these are heaven's words, and we're mere humans. So it'll take time, and God will answer our questions. You know, it's not like any book we've ever read before. So it's going to be different, and we have to realize that and just read it with humility. And remember that Jesus wants us to be a nothing, which is even, I don't want to say lower than humility, but even greater than being humble. He wants us to be a nothing. And that's where we can really enter in. Because then he's our all. I think even when you're humble, you still have a little bit of yourself in there. But when you're in nothing, it's all Him. And that's our goal.
Well, that's how we're going to find our everything in that nothing. Yeah. We become nothing. And you know, another thing also in humility, Jesus tells Louisa, and He's telling us also, to be humble, to have humility, you must have confidence. Yeah. Now, at first you think, wait a minute, it's sort of contrasting. If I'm confident, no, not overconfidence. Confidence will enable humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about that, and I think of silly analogies, but it's true. If you have confidence in what you know, then you don't have to be proving it to yourself and to others.
Jesus says that a lot.
I think something really silly. I think about like the biggest muscle man on the boardwalk. When he walks down the boardwalk, he doesn't have to shove everybody out of the way, because he's confident in what he has. I mean, he has the ability to defend himself and defend others if he has to. So most bodybuilders like that are very, like, I think I told you really quickly, sorry to digest, but I did some work once for the WWF when they had a fallout, and this group. So I went to, make a long story, I went to the Dominican Republic with them. And this was back in my business days. And I had Jake the Snake and the Ultimate Warrior and all these guys that they're crazy in the ring, of course. But then you get on the bus back to the hotel, they all put their bifocals on, they're all reading who's studying to be an attorney, who's studying to be a doctor. They've got their sport coats on. Go back to the hotel. I'm the only one at the bar. Nobody goes to the bar. They go back to their rooms and sleep. I'm at the bar. I'm all alone. I thought these guys were going to hang out. We're going to have a drink together. No. So again, it's deceiving. But yet that confidence allows for that humility, of course, except for the act in the ring.
Yeah. He's he really puts us in the school. Like he says, if you want this virtue, you have to have this. And if you want this, you have to have this. And I like when he says, if you want courage, which I think we're going to need,
absolutely,
you must trust. And what was the last thing he taught us? Divine mercy. Trust.
Is that incredible?
Yeah. It's so understandable when Jesus speaks to us. You know, I always feel like I have to get my pen out and write all this down because I want to remember it. But he has us in school, and he's making it simple for us.
Yeah.
Us little nothings that we are. So thank you, God.
And the correlation between divine mercy and divine will is so, it really is the preview to the divine will. I mean, think about it. I didn't know this until we formed that page with divine mercy and the divine will, that when Louisa went into her like rigid state where she had to be awakened, like almost like a comatose state at night, she had the priest had to come in and say a prayer, and then she woke up. The prayer that was said was Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And what is the prayer at the end of divine mercy? Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. So it was an exact prayer, except for the have mercy on you and the whole world. And then think about it. The Our Father, God had a decree. He asked the Father for it. His will be on earth as it is in heaven. It happened, right? The gift is here. Divine mercy, have mercy on us and on the whole world. It's happened. God has given us the greatest mercy. He's given us the greatest gift. And through that gift is His mercy. So they've been fulfilled, but many don't see it. We have to be very thankful and humble, but very thankful that we're able to recognize this when everyone else is not recognizing it for whatever reason. I'm not a smart guy, but if I see it, and I try to talk to people around me and they don't see it, and we can't make them see it. That's why praying for them is the best way. Like God's do dispose them. It's so great. But we're going to get to the passage. We're going to get to the summary. Okay. So Maureen, we're on 5 point. Let me just see. Well, yeah, we're on 5.3.7.5, and we're still on footnote number 296. So we'll just stop there if we could, please.
296. Okay. 5.3.7.5, Cosmic Theology. In Maximus's writings, P.J. Renzi's notes that the divine energy assumes the value of an actualization of resident powers in being, and relentlessly pushes these toward a higher thing, always realizing more, until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, the universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. By this means, God makes them all, along with the all, a unified symphony and a unison of motion. Louisa underscores Maximus's teaching on creations, divinization, and unification when she asserts that through man, creation is divinized and restored to the original unity, order, freedom, and harmony it enjoyed before sin.
Isn't that incredible? Again, this is Father's summary. This is Father's summary. Now he's going to drive us into the volumes. But always moving towards this higher thing. It's like the church. Jesus explains to us, I think it's in volume 16. I don't have the passage in front of me. But he says that everything he's given in the last 2,000 years, the church, the sacraments, the saints, the graces, everything has had as its, quote, primary purpose to bring us back to that prelapse era and era of Adam, to go back before original sin. So everything that we have is for that purpose. That's our end game, end all purpose. So that's why we can't get stuck. I mean, it's so easy to get stuck because we love this, we love that. Whether it be, you know, we want to stay with the, you know, like the, I know a lot of my friends, they believe that the Latin Mass is the only way to go back. And it's one way to go back. But the only way to go back completely is through the gift of divine will. So the Latin Mass for 1500 years has really helped get us in that direction. And again, it's going to be two steps forward, one step back, because the church has a human element as well. But the church can never stand still. The church can never be static until it achieves its goal. And Jesus tells us the primary purpose is to bring us back to the order of the place and the purpose, to bring us back to Adam before sin, to bring that fusion of wills once again, the resurrection of the human will.
I think some people, their identity becomes their spirituality. So whatever they do or however they follow becomes who they are. And I feel like Jesus is saying, I'm who I want you to be. I want you to be identified with me alone. And that's why everything else has to be put aside for a while till we get to where he wants us to be, which is he wants us to be one with him totally in a new way. You know, not just the way we've known, but a total way, the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. I mean, that's our identity. And so that's why we have to put those other things aside for a bit. Maybe we can go back and enjoy them a little, but not until we're in the divine will. That's how I see it, you know, or do these things in the divine will, but we have to learn the divine will. And then we have our identity of who we were called to be in the very beginning. So we have to get past that because we're so, you know, the human mind, and especially holy people and good people, they have their spiritual identity. And it's hard to say, okay, I'm going to go for something better. It's hard. You know, they have to become a nothing. And then they'll say, okay, Lord, you have more for us, and go for it. So we just keep praying, you know.
So true. Yeah, it's the opposite. You know, the saints in the past, they did, and that's who they became.
Yeah.
And now God says, no, I want to reverse roles. I want you to be first and then do. Mm-hmm. Because now, again, he's got that elevation. He's bringing this to a whole different level that wasn't available before. So he says, come to the level first. Mm-hmm. And then go back. You know, this doesn't mean throw the devotions out the window. That's not what he's saying here. Place it on hold. Suspend mm-hmm. that like the divine will was suspended. Reverse that also. Embrace the gift and now go back. And now you're not just effectuating change, like he says, to those around us. You're permeating through that, through this new dimension. You're going mm-hmm. to all souls, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
With what you're doing now, as opposed to what you were doing before. You could be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But again, God has elevated what it is. We haven't done anything better, but God has done it for us. So I think that's just, and that's, I think that's easier to understand. And last thing too, before we move on, we can't say this is not for me because God says, I made this, he says in volume 23, November 27th, 1927, he says, quote, my daughter, Louisa, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great is to move God to decide to give me my divine will and know that I had to make this. And then that wasn't the past I want. Know that I had to make this available to all souls in all situations, in all conditions, in all circumstances. So it's not like we have to go looking for it. God says, you haven't come looking for me. I've come looking for you. Mm-hmm. So he's shaking us now with this divine will. We have to just ask him for it. And he's going to give it. He may give it a little. He's going to give it commensurate to our desire. We desire it all quickly. He's going to give it to us quickly. Again, disposing ourselves. I think I'm finally understanding what it means to be disposed. I'm not saying I'm disposed, but it's to be prepared, to be yearning for, to be ready to accept. Just like our lady said, you know, capable of understanding. Well, we have to want something so that we pay attention to it. And I think that's the disposition God's wanting. He wants that, attentiveness. He uses that word often. We're attentive. We're focused. We can absorb it. It's not like we're listening. We're talking to someone else like I usually do, and I don't hear any of them. So it's just being attentive, and we can work on that. But again, that has to come with desire. And how do we desire it? We have to know it, right? The more we know why we desire this, just like the know, love, and serve God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Footnote number 296. Now we started this, Maureen, and I have got a spot here where we can begin, if that's okay. It might be a little redundant, but I think we're going to get through this quickly and move on to some new material as well. Okay. Without rushing, of course.
Okay. My always adorable Jesus continues to make himself seen with his heart pierced and embittered to the summit. It seemed that all the pains of creatures were inflicted in that heart. In fact, it is not only sins that pierce that heart, but also the sufferings that the creature causes herself by not corresponding to grace. And it seemed that, since they were piercing a heart that loves, as they wounded that loving heart, its love was so great that it tried to transmute the very offenses into graces and blessings. O goodness of Jesus! He alone can boast of really loving the creatures and up to the incredible. So also the pains of each one of them pierced it, but the offenses were so many as to turn the very graces which came from that most holy heart into lightnings. Therefore he told me, my daughter, how unbearable man has rendered himself. He changes my graces into lightnings, and drives himself toward a general revolution. So he himself is plotting his own destruction and has reached such a point as to deserve to be struck by me. And while he was saying this, he showed troubles everywhere, cities collapsed, and evils of a new kind.
Yeah, and we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, Maureen. Again, I'm not going to go into detail with this, but in Father's dissertation on pages 264 and 265, Luisa articulates, Jesus articulates also, what he showed Luisa in the form of visions. And again, about the chastisements coming, you know, just to read a couple, you know, fire will come from the sky, also from the earth, to overwhelm mankind and make him believe that God exists. The fire will descend, that will damage crops and man's nourishment. Wars will flare up, revolutions, fire, wind, blood, water, all will extend out of its boundaries and destroy a great part of humanity and bury man. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But it does go on to say, though, while those who live in the divine will have dominion over those elements, in other words, be protected. And then he goes on to say also, as a result of these chastisements, the Vatican itself will be shaken in part, but in the end, the nations will turn back to God, end quote. And that's from volume 12, October 16th, 1918. So again, he does it because he has to do it. This is what's going to make people go back to God. If they're not going to voluntarily do it, the chastisements have to come. But Luisa never wanted to hear about the chastisements. She wanted to close her eyes and cover her ears. Okay.
And she used to say to Jesus, why do you do this? It makes you upset. Or it makes you sad. She would do anything she could to talk him out of it.
I know.
You know, yeah. I mean, thank
that's
you
an Italian. Italian, yeah, that's my wife, my Italian. She'll say, Italian, always try to convince you of something else.
Okay. Then afterwards, he came back again, tired, asking for my help in his pains, and breathing on me again in the place of my heart. He shared with me the shadows. I could say, of his pains. Yet, even though they were shadows, had he not remained near me to give me help, I could not have endured them. What must be the pains of that most holy heart? Then calming himself, he told me, my daughter, firstborn of my will, since my will encloses everything, in giving you my will as life, I want to enclose everything also in you. Remember that a few months ago, I fixed a little wheel of sun in you, and with a ruler, I measured you all over. Then another little wheel descended from heaven, and after I fixed it in you, it kept many threads of light, which were fixed in the most holy Trinity. Everything remained open between you and us, and for that time, I left you without giving you any explanation about my work. Now, after having worked in you so much during all this time past, and having to complete my work, I want to give you some explanations so that the seal of my will and of yours becoming one may give completion to the mission to which I have called you.
Okay, so right here now, he's going to begin to talk about that wheel. And I think the wheel is really pertinent to that cog that we talked about in volume 16, how I guess it's the energy, the grace that God's given. I love that too, responsive to grace. It's not like God has not been giving us grace and graces throughout the 6,000 years. He has, but we haven't been able to fully utilize it or even utilize some of it at certain times for some of us. But the grace has been there. Now he's even redoubling and tripling the grace so that we have everything we need to get past even these more difficult times than in the past 2,000 years. I mean, things right now are probably at its worst. Again, that's subject to debate, but I think so. Mm.
So the little wheel of light, which I fixed in you first, was the whole of creation, which came out from the divinity, all love, light, and beauty. Then I measured you with the ruler to see your dispositions and those which you were lacking, in order to put them in, to be able to fix well this little wheel and keep it safe. The second little wheel was the divinity which descended in you, established that which it had created in heaven, and fixed it in you, so as to place itself in the proper relations which creation owed it.
Everything, again, go back to the cock, everything's been given to us. And where our deficiencies are, he fills them. Remember, he tells us that, you know, with the intention, with a proper intention, if we set out to do something good and we fall short, even way short, he'll fill those voids. He'll get in there so to make sure that it's done completely. And we'll be given credit for it, as if credit maybe not be a good word, but I think he used something like credit. We'll be given the, let's use credit for lack of a better word. As if we did complete it. And he gave us that analogy too when he came to redeem and save mankind. Mm-hmm. He came to save all souls. Did he succeed? No, not all souls were saved. Mm-hmm. Any fault of Jesus? Absolutely not. He did it with the intention. He did everything he could without invalidating our free will. So the Father gave him credit as if all souls were saved, because that was God's intention. And he brought that to fruition. That's beautiful. And again, he talks about these little wheels. I really think that has to really work with the cog. And what he wants to give us is incredible. I mean, right now, we would explode. That's why he has to keep expanding our capacity. And we help do that also by our desire. You know, we desire, God gives, it expands. It's like it's like my stomach, after I keep eating, it keeps expanding. So the cog also, and now if we can start the next paragraph, Maureen, but after the first sentence, I want to go to that other passage, which I think fully explains that, and that maybe that's all the time we'll have for today.
Okay. Now know that I have enclosed and secured the creation in you.
You're right there. Think about that. The creation in you. Yeah. I mean, I can't comprehend that. But God goes on to explain this. And this is not in Father's dissertation, but I just happened to have this passage and I thought it fit well with that. You know that I have enclosed and secured the creation in you. If you can just read this morning, please.
Oh, yeah. Okay. One who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation within herself. Louisa relates, I started to fuse my entire poor being in the supreme will. And as I was doing so, I noticed the heavens opening, and I went up to meet the whole heavenly court, and all of heaven came toward me. And my sweet Jesus said to me, my daughter, fusing yourself in my will is the most solemn act, the greatest one, the most important of your entire life. To fuse yourself in my will is to enter the eternal mode, to embrace it, to impress upon it a mystical kiss, and to receive the treasury of the blessings that my eternal will contains. What is more, as the soul fuses itself in our supreme will, all heaven goes out to meet this soul, to convey to it all the blessings and glory that they possess. The angels, the saints, and the divinity itself convey everything to this soul, knowing that what they convey is conveyed in God's will, where everything is safe. What is more, in receiving these blessings, the soul multiplies them through its acts in the divine will, and in return gives to all of heaven double honor and glory. Therefore, by fusing yourself in my will, you put heaven and earth in motion. It is a new feast for all of heaven. And since fusing oneself in my will is to love and to give of oneself for each and every one, without excluding anyone, in my goodness, so as not to be won over in love by the soul in my will, I place within it all the blessings intended for each and every one, and all conceivable goods that I possess within me. If you knew what you do and what happens when you fuse yourself in my will, you would eagerly yearn to do it continuously.
Now, I know that needs a few readings. I think that's the second time we've read that. It's almost like, you know, again, all I have is silly analogies. That's all I have. But it's like when we get in the car, we know if we turn the key, we start the engine, we press on the gas, we're going to go. But now it's like we've been driving this car, but now we're understanding God wants to show us this is how the engine works. When you step on the gas pedal, this is how the fuel goes. This is what the pistons do. God has explained to us here, all of heaven come to meet this soul to convey to it all the blessings and glory that they possess. I mean, think about this. It's like we don't think about all the combustion in the engine we're driving. We're just driving and trying to pay attention and stay safe. But God's explained to us now. I mean, this is never before being divulged. Can you imagine that? They come out to meet the soul to convey all the blessings, all of heaven. And that's for one act when we fuse ourselves. And, you know, we do the preventing act in the morning. We ask for that fusion. Any of us can do that. And if we can't speak, we can do it subliminally. You know, God likes to hear our words, whether they're audible or whether they're internal. And again, I wish I had that that one passage that just explains how God had to make this easy. He had to make it accessible. Okay, here it is. I'm sorry. Pardon me, Maureen, really quickly. Mm-hmm. Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Now, blessed Jesus came to me and told me, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in my divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible and easy in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. End quote. So this fusion can happen. We don't have to be in a certain chair, or this doesn't have to happen only in church. I mean, it's great if we can be in church. But that's why this preventing act in the morning, the actual acts as we're going along during our day, you know, come divine will, drive in my driving, wash in my washing. You know, Father's reminded us of that. all of this is inviting. We're asking for that fusion. And when it happens, remember, God can give us this gift on loan at any time. All we need to be is in the state of grace and have an ardent desire to receive it. Again, we're not talking about in totality. We're talking about to get our foot, to get in the foyer. State of grace, ardent desire. That's it. To begin the journey. And then to understand now the mechanisms of this, Maureen, all heaven goes out to meet the soul, to convey it, to it all the blessings and glory they possess. And this is when the soul fuses itself. And that's why he says, if you knew what this fusion was or what the value is, you would never neglect to fuse anything that I do. And how do we remember this? Well, again, those actual acts help me. And my son helps me too. I get in the car. He'll say, come divine will, ride my riding. Ah, okay. Come divine will, drive in my driving. So we remind each other. Now, if we have family that can do that, that's great. If we don't, though, maybe the little sticky pads, those little stickets, those post-its. Mm-hmm. But if we remember to do that, it becomes a habit, it becomes second nature, mm-hmm. and it becomes our nature, and it becomes us. It's really... it's available for everyone in all circumstances in every place.
I was thinking, Peter, of, I don't know whether this is true or not, but it seems like that when COVID hit and people were home because of the internet, it just seems like so many people were learning about the divine will. I don't know if that's true or not, if I read it or if I just see it in my own circles, that a lot of people were looking at this now and ordering books and searching for something. The churches were closed. And I thought to myself, I remember reading too that Jesus says, when the churches close, know that I was a part of that because of the unhappiness of things that are going on in the churches and the sacramental confessions weren't good. And he was disappointed and everything. I don't know if that's what with COVID, but I thought to myself, aha, so the churches are closed and people are learning about the divine will that wouldn't normally learn about it. There's Zoom meetings all over the place. I know I'm part of one. We have people from all over the country because of COVID. So I thought, aha, so see, God's always ahead. He's always got a plan and he can turn something evil into good. And I think that's what happened. That's just my own personal opinion. I think it really took off during COVID.
I think it was God's permissible will allow that whole COVID era to happen to help prepare us. Mm-hmm. Because he did say about the church, he says, know that when the churches are closing, it's I who are closing them. And basically he went on to paraphrase, you know, because the sacrament of the Eucharist, instead of bringing people to their salvation, is actually working toward their damnation because of receiving in the state of grace and the other things that are going on in the church. But not to leave the church, because remember St. Cyril says,
right,
just gather with the sheep, flee from the wolves, but never leave the church. So we have to pick and choose our friends and maybe churches too when it comes to that. But yeah, I think COVID gets us an opportunity to know, again, with the divine will, we really don't know. I'm excluding Mass. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be anywhere. Because think of Louisa went nowhere, but went everywhere. Remember, Jesus told her, you look like you're doing nothing while you do everything.
Yeah.
Because everything, this is an interior gift.
It's interior, right.
It's interior. Just like St. Cyril Jerusalem and St. Bernard of Clairvaux, they call this the intermediate coming, the third coming of Christ. I know that sounds scandalous, but these are doctors of the church. It's an interior coming.
Yeah,
that's between the first and the second. It's a coming to prepare us for that second. So it's a coming 1.5. Mm-hmm. It's the era of sanctification. I asked Father Iannuzzi, is this true? Is this what they're talking about? He goes, yes. That's why it's also in his dissertation. It's also in the Splendor of Creation, another great periodical. That'll help form a beautiful foundation from our Catholic church, from a Catholic perspective, to allow us to help us understand this gift of the divine will. So it's all here for us.
Yeah. God's always feeding us. He never leaves us. And I think during COVID, he was still, I mean, he was with us. And in a special way, I think, through the divine will, people learning and wanting to know. People were searching. They were a little taken back by everything. And whoa, what's happening? What's happening to our church? What's happening to our people? They're getting sick. What's happening? And so they were looking for more. And this is the more. Here it is.
It is here. Well, we're out of time, Maureen. But thanks be to God. I'd like to end with that quote that I sort of botched earlier. Apologies. Volume 23, November 27th, 1927. Jesus speaking to Louisa. Quote, my daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God, to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. End quote. With the move God. How do we move God? Well, I think we're moving him right now. We're talking about it. We're reading about it. We're trusting him. We're growing deeper in love with it. Remember this, the saints in the past, the Old Testament saints, they moved God for the Redeemer. Then we are now being moved for the divine will. Mary is helping us move God so that this gift can be given to everyone. As Jesus says, except or unless the soul does not want it. But we want it. So come, divine will. Pray in our praying. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Spirit. Thanks be to God for everything. Maureen, thank you again.
Thank you, Peter.
For everything. And really quick, this Sunday, we'll have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Doors. I know we have a new picture now because there's a couple of new sisters. They'll be with us on the 7th. Now, this will be this will actually be a recording because Mother is leaving and the sisters for a couple talks in Ireland. They're going to be there for about 10 days, I think. So, but what we did was we recorded our Radio Maria program. So you're actually going to see the live broadcast. The recorded live broadcast with all the hand gestures and stickies and everything. It was pretty interesting. And then we stopped it at the 55-minute mark, which is the program, and we just continued on speaking about our mother. So that's going to be the 90-minute program. It's taped, but it'll be all new because I haven't looked at the video, but yeah, it's usually pretty silly when we have hand gestures and it's on radio, no one sees us. I look the best on radio because...
You're such kindergartners.
Yeah, we are. We really are. I miss kindergarten. Yeah, cubby hole, snack time, and don't forget nap time too. Well, teachers had a great there. I love you, Maureen.
All right, Peter. You take
care. See everybody
now.
On Sunday, hopefully with Mother Gabriel and the Benedict, and pray for Mother and the sisters to have a safe prosperous trip to Ireland. They're going to give a couple talks out there.
That'll be fun.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, boy, I wish I was going.
Yeah, me too. Love everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.